this is Dr. John Day. Welcome to podcast number 145, 10 ways to stop inflammation from air pollution and other causes. Breathing bad air is one of the main causes of inflammation, breathing problems and heart conditions, a poor diet, too much stress, not enough sleep, and lack of exercise also cause inflammation. Inflammation is a silent killer that not only causes chronic pain and fatigue now, but also puts you at risk for Alzheimer's disease, cancer, or arthritis. This podcast will teach you everything you need to know about how to stop inflammation now. How bad is breathing bad air? The air this past week in Salt Lake City, actually it's now been several weeks since I initially wrote this, it was very bad. In the first part of February, very bad. Now, later in the month, much better. And at the beginning of February, mid-February, red days were very common. And for much of a couple of weeks there of February, our beloved mountains here in Salt Lake City were completely hidden by dense smog. And if you wanted to see just how bad it was, if you go onto my website, drjohnday.com, this is blog number 145, I have a link to a photograph from our local paper just showing how bad the smog was, and you couldn't even see very far in front of you. Well, when our air pollution is bad, unfortunately, it's just intermittently here in Salt Lake City. It tends to be during the winter months, December, January, February. Salt Lake City is in a basin. We're surrounded by these big mountains, and you get a high pressure system above us, and it just traps all the air, and we suffocate in our pollution for 3 months. The rest of the year, we have fabulous air in Salt Lake City, but we get these so-called inversions, like I said, December through February, and they can just be horrible, and it takes a big storm front to move them out. So when our air pollution is bad, like I said, that's December through February here in Salt Lake City, my hospital fills up with patients. We see many patients with respiratory problems, heart attacks on these red air days. And it gets so bad that our local schools won't even let our kids go outside for recess. Based on data from the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, one organization has calculated that breathing Salt Lake City air for 1 year is the equivalent of living with a smoker for 3 months. And for those of you who are living in North America, you can find out your cigarette equivalent air pollution risk for whatever city you're living in here in North America. I have a link to their website. Just once again, go to drjohnday.com. This is blog number 145. And it isn't just Salt Lake City that suffers from bad air. Studies from people living in Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago, St. Paul, and Winston-Salem can lose up to 5 years of life from air pollution. So let's talk a little bit about acute versus chronic inflammation. Inflammation is like fire. It can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the company it keeps. For example, if you caught a cold or sprained your knee this year, you need your body to rev up the immune system for a couple of weeks to repair the damage. Once things have healed, though, the inflammatory response should shut off. However, with chronic inflammation, the inflammation never turns off. Inflammation that never settles down causes rusting throughout your body, many chronic medical problems, and even a premature death. How to measure your inflammation. To find out your own inflammation level, there's a simple and reliable blood test that your doctor can order for you. Perhaps you've already had this done. It's called a C-reactive protein. Based on your level of chronic inflammation, that's your CRP level from this blood test, your doctor can predict your risk of a heart attack. The goal is to get your CRP level as low as possible. Ideally, your CRP level will be below 1 milligram per liter. Levels above 3 milligrams per liter put you at high risk of a heart attack and premature death. An abnormally high CRP level also puts you at risk for cancer and dementia, as well as a myriad of other chronic medical problems. Of course, you don't want to get a CRP blood test when you're battling a cold or another infection, as your CRP is going to be quite high because your body's revved up to fight off that invader. To truly measure your level of chronic inflammation, this test should be done when your body is not fighting off an infection. Well, what causes chronic inflammation? Besides breathing bad air, which causes chronic inflammation, inflammation tends to be elevated in people eating the standard American diet, which is high in sugar, refined carbohydrates, red, processed meats, fast foods, and processed foods. Inflammation and the CRP blood test are also elevated in people who don't regularly exercise, they weigh more than they should, they may have a stressful job or a stressful life, they may have difficulty sleeping, suffer from depression, have arthritis, autoimmune diseases, or they may be suffering from medical conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol. If you have any of these chronic medical conditions that I just rattled off, your CRP level is probably elevated. So let's move on to the next part of this podcast, 10 ways to stop inflammation. So how do we turn off the inflammatory response that is all revved up and doesn't seem to be turning off on its own? Regardless of what is causing your inflammation, here are my 10 best ways to stop inflammation now. The more things you can correct, the lower your risk from inflammation. If air pollution is high where you live, then you may need to work even harder on these things to keep chronic inflammation levels low. To track yourself, you can have your doctor check your CRP levels before and after you start doing these 10 things. So let me rattle them off. 1 through 10. Number 1. Breathe clean air. Breathing polluted air from tobacco or air pollution causes inflammation, which then leads to lung and heart disease. One study showed that environmental air pollution can double the level of inflammation in your body. Fortunately, another study showed that breathing clean air immediately lowers inflammation. One thing to remember is that indoor air can be 2 to 5 times worse than whatever air you might be breathing outside of your home. To breathe cleaner air, consider the following things. Have smokers go outside the home, or go outside of the office, or don't let them smoke in your car. Use HEPA air filters for your home. Keep your home well ventilated. Use exhaust fans when cooking on the stove. Don't drive when there's traffic congestion. Recycle the air in your car on red air days. Exercise outside in the mornings when air pollution tends to be lower, etc., etc. So a lot of these are just common sense. Of course, make sure you are part of the solution rather than the problem. Minimize your contribution to air pollution and continue to put pressure on your local politicians to make clean air a priority. Number 2, maintain a healthy weight. Of all of the strategies to reduce inflammation, weight loss consistently lowers inflammation and CRP levels the most. For example, weight loss can result in up to an 81% decrease in CRP. Even just losing a few pounds can significantly lower your inflammation and CRP levels. Number 3, daily exercise. Physically fit people have very low levels of CRP. However, too much of a good thing, like, for example, training for a full Ironman triathlon or an ultramarathon, that may actually increase inflammation and CRP levels. Optimal CRP levels tend to occur with moderate levels of daily exercise. Number 4, eat more fiber. As 70% of your immune system resides in your gut, it only makes sense that a healthy gut lowers inflammation and CRP. In one study, boosting daily fiber intake to more than 30 milligrams daily cuts CRP levels in half. To keep gut inflammation low, focus on fiber from vegetables, fruits, and legumes, as well as fermented foods. To learn more about gut health, please go back. You can listen to podcast number 140, Heal Your Gut in 5 Simple Steps. Number 5, get more vitamin C from vegetables and fruits. The antioxidant, vitamin C, has been shown to decrease inflammation and CRP. In a well-designed study, vitamin C decreased CRP levels by 25%. To get more vitamin C, guess what? Eat more vegetables and fruits. For example, just one serving of papaya, bell peppers, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, strawberries, or pineapples will give you more than enough vitamin C for the day. Just one serving of any of those fruits gives you more than 100% that you need for the day, fruits or vegetables. So papaya, bell peppers, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, strawberries, pineapples, one serving, more than 100%, all you need for the day. Number 6, increase omega-3. To stop inflammation, eat more omega-3 fatty acid foods. For example, in a recent study, omega-3 fatty acids nearly cut CRP levels in half. Unfortunately, up to 95% of Americans are deficient in omega-3. To boost your omega-3, make sure to eat oily fish weekly, in addition to a daily dose of the plant form of omega-3. Plant-based foods high in omega-3s include flax seeds, walnuts, chia seeds, hemp seeds, soybeans, cruciferous vegetables, and berries. Number 7, reduce stress. Chronic stress and anxiety increases inflammation and CRP levels. Surprise, surprise. If stress is absolutely, positively unavoidable, then focus on doing something daily to manage stress. This could be yoga, meditation, exercise, prayer, or even a little walk in nature. Number 8, get restorative sleep. Not enough sleep or sleep apnea are additional causes of chronic inflammation and elevated CRP levels. Make sleep a priority to stop inflammation now. Go to bed earlier so that you don't need an alarm clock to wake you up before your body is ready to get up. If you are overweight or if you snore, talk to your doctor about getting tested for sleep apnea. Number 9, limit sugar, limit refined grains, limit red meats, limit processed meats, limit fast foods, limit processed foods. So basically, let's try to get rid of the stuff that's not real food. Besides carrying extra weight and smoking, the standard American diet is probably one of the main causes of excessive inflammation. The sooner you can get off of, or at least significantly limit these foods, the better off your health and inflammation levels will be. So limit sugar, refined grains, red meats, processed meats, fast foods, and processed foods. Number 10, keep glucose and hemoglobin A1C levels low. Half of American adults suffer from prediabetes or diabetes. With prediabetes or diabetes, blood sugar levels, that's glucose, tends to be high, especially after eating. One of the very best tests for prediabetes and diabetes is a blood test called hemoglobin A1C. Very common test. You've probably already had it done, or at least possibly have. This is a simple blood test that your doctor can order for you. This test measures how much glucose is stuck to your red blood cells. And since a red blood cell lives for about 120 days, roughly it provides a 120-day average of your blood sugar levels. Elevated blood sugar levels are highly, highly, highly inflammatory. Thus, to stop inflammation, keep hemoglobin A1C levels as low as absolutely possible to keep inflammation and CRP levels in check. Whew, that was a lot there. Take home message. What is the big picture of everything that you've just heard? Well, let me quickly summarize it. Most of the patients I see every day suffer from high levels of chronic inflammation. Indeed, most of the chronic diseases Americans suffer from can be traced back to chronic inflammation. Whether this inflammation comes from breathing bad air like we had for the first half of February in Salt Lake City, or making poor food choices, or not exercising, the effects are the same. The key to a long life, healthy life, happy life is to only have inflammation when it is absolutely needed, like in battling an infection or an acute injury. If the inflammation never turns off. You got to get it off. And so quick wrap up, 10 things to lower inflammation now. Number one, breathe clean air. We talked about that. Number two, maintain a healthy weight. And that probably has more of an impact on inflammation and CRP levels than anything else. Number three, daily exercise at a moderate level of exercise every day. Very helpful. Number four, eat more fiber. Number five, get more vitamin C from vegetables and fruits. Number six, increase omega-3. Number seven, reduce stress. Number eight, get restorative sleep. Number nine, limit sugar, refined grains, red meats, processed meats, fast foods, processed foods. That's a mouthful. Number 10, keep your glucose and hemoglobin A1C levels low. So what are you doing to keep your inflammation levels low? Would love to hear from you. Please go onto my website, drjohnday.com. This is blog number 145. Scroll to the bottom, and there you'll see in big bold letters, leave a comment. Leave a comment there. Share with the community what you've learned, what helps keep your inflammation in check. Also, as always, if you have any questions about anything you've heard in this article, if you post your questions there on my website, that's blog number 145, I'll answer every question. So thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, keep living better.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.